If you would turn with me to Habakkuk. And if you don't know where Habakkuk is, Habakkuk's a small book. It's only three chapters, so it's kind of tucked between, if you look for Ezekiel, then you'll start to find it close within there, because between Ezekiel and Matthew, there's a bunch of small, they're called minor prophets in there, and it's somewhere in that space, or use your table of contents, Habakkuk. And we're going to be pulling a number of principles from the entire book there, Habakkuk, and as well as referring to your handouts this morning. And we had taken a break from our walk through the spiritual habits. Some people call them the spiritual disciplines, but we're going to land back in there for a little while. And the reason why we're walking through the spiritual habits and why that's so important is because the degree with which we interact with the spiritual habits, which is praying, Bible study, being involved in church, ministry, witnessing, all of those things, the degree with which we participate in the spiritual habits affects the degree with which we have a mature faith or a strong or powerful faith. And we might think, well, Jesus does all of it for us, right? Jesus gives us the power, he gives us the strength, he gives us the wisdom. That is true. However, Jesus wants everybody to be saved, but not everybody is saved. Jesus wants everybody to be mature in their faith, but not everybody is mature or submissive in their faith. And the reason is because, yes, God provides all that we have need of to get there, but we have to respond to it. We have to be receptive and interact with the things that God is calling us to do in order for us to receive that. And so the degree with which we are praying and studying scripture and getting involved in church and ministry and sharing our faith is going to impact how mature our faith is. It's going to impact how much we receive the benefits that God has for us. And so you may notice the closer you are to the Lord, the less anxiety there tends to be. The closer or the more I feel God's presence, the less anger there is, or the less sadness and depression, and the more there is a joy in my heart. The degree with which I interact with God affects the degree with which I receive the benefits that he has. It's not that he's holding them back. It's not that he doesn't want us to have them. It's whether or not we actually want to receive them. The degree with which we interact with the spiritual habits affects the degree with which we impact the lives of those that are in our circles of influence, our family members, the people who live with us, our neighbors, our coworkers. We impact them more the amount that we're interacting with our spiritual habits. And we're less impactful the less that we are having that interaction. And we're also talking about the spiritual habits because it matters to us individually, and I think that we see that, and it matters to us as a body, as a church, as a whole. Because the greater degree that we as a group are interacting with the spiritual habits will affect how strong and effective Bethel Assembly of God is. So I, as your pastor, could be interacting with the spiritual habits and growing in my faith, but if the majority of us are not doing that, we will be less effective than if the majority of us are doing that. And so the effectiveness of Bethel depends upon, again, God supplying the power, the strength, the wisdom, and all of that. But it rests upon whether or not we are willing to step out in faith and do what God has called us to do. And I wonder, is that important enough for us to spend some time praying, studying scripture, carving out time to come to church on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night? Is it worth that? And we started with scripture, the study of scripture, and then now we're in our connection with the Lord or prayer. And we know that prayer is necessary because remember the statements Jesus said in John 15, that if you abide in me, I will abide in you. And if I abide in you, you will abide in my love and my joy you will have. And so the amount of connection that we have with him through prayer is going to affect what happens in our lives, spiritually and emotionally and all of those things. And we are called to that. And I don't know if you want this or not, but I would like to have a prayer life myself that, one, results in I ask for something and it takes place. Wouldn't you like that to happen? God, please do this, and then it takes place. That's an impactful prayer, right? Or whether it's for me or somebody else, God, do this in their life, I ask for it, and it happens. But that's not the most important impact from prayer. Perhaps more important is that I go in and I pray and I come out different than I was before. That I'm getting transformed, that I'm becoming a better person, that I'm being more kind, I'm exhibiting more of the fruit of the Spirit. I have more assurance and confidence and joy and all of those things. That is supposed to be happening, and I would like to have that kind of prayer life, wouldn't you? I would also like the result to be that I feel and know intimacy with the Lord, that I am connected with Him, I hear His voice, I sense His leading, I sense His presence with me. I would like to have that. And some of us, we are praying, but we're praying, we're listing off our requests that we want to ask for ourselves and others. We're maybe singing some worship songs to the Lord. We're doing different things to interact with Him, but there is no power in it. Where is the power in our prayer life? And that power is somewhat related to, does anybody know a teenager? Some of you do. Anybody parenting a teenager currently? I know some of you have parented teenagers, but the teenagers today are a little different than the teenagers before, and one of the ways they are different, and this drives me crazy, but one of the ways they're different, some of it's culturally induced, but one of the ways that they're different is if you've tried to push a teenager, you have possibly found them say this kind of a statement. Are you ready for this? You're pushing them, and they say, don't try to make me something I'm not. Have you ever heard a teenager say that? Don't try to make me something that I'm not. And while that might be okay in certain contexts and those kind of things, but that's not really how healthy relationships happen. Because if the person's treating me like garbage, and that's just how they are, they just treat people like garbage, I'm not okay with that. Are you okay with that? And so I'm going to want to tell them, listen, you could be whoever you want to be. Don't treat me like that. Don't treat me like garbage. And if you are in a relationship where someone's treating you like garbage, now we might try to be, Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek, you know, and we're called to be forgiven and those kind of things. But we're not going to feel close or connected to that person. How many of us are going to want to trust someone with personal information when the last time we shared with them personal information, they were like, you're such a baby. You just go over it. Well, the next time I'm sensitive, guess who I'm not going to? Right? I might be kind and loving to them and forgiving to them, but I'm not going to go to them for sympathy anymore. Or if I go and tell them and they tell somebody else, right? Well, I'm not sharing this stuff with them anymore. And so, yes, we can choose to be who we want to be. But if we want to be connected with other people, we have to be willing to say, listen, you know, I love you as you are. But I really would like you for you to stop treating me like this. Or I'd like you to stop saying this or acting this way because this hurts my feelings and does this and that. But as much as our teenagers have a hard time knowing how to navigate relationships, I think that most of us have a hard time knowing how to navigate relationships. I don't think this is entirely new. I think there might be a new expression that happens in it. But I think all of us have a hard time knowing how to connect with others. Because some of us, you know, I don't want anybody to get mad and upset, and so I'm just going to suck it up and just know that nothing ever happens the way I want it to happen, and nobody ever does what I ever want, and nobody ever meets my needs, but I just want to be selfless, and so I don't want to rock the boat. And I know some of you are thinking that that's how you think, right? I don't want to rock the boat. But what happens is you never connect with anybody. You just make sure that there's never any fights. You don't ever connect with anybody because they don't know you. And if they don't know you, and then you don't learn from them, and you don't, husbands, if you ever tried this, this is a bit of a marriage advice. This always works. You ready for this? You go to your wife and you say, listen, I don't like this, so you need to do everything the way I like it. That works, right, John? No, it doesn't work. No, that's not the way we do relationships. But we don't just say, well, that's not how you do it, so I'm just going to not ask for anything that I want. No, we go in and we express what's bothering us or what we'd like to see happen. But we're open to whatever they're going to say back. Because maybe they might say, well, the reason why I don't do that is because my back's bothering me too much, or this is bothering me, or I don't know how to do that, or well, there was this stuff that went on in my childhood, and I don't know if I can, and whatever it is. And then you interact with them, right? And it's through those conversations that we end up becoming close to somebody. If we learn to be ourselves and let them be them, and we work things out, we don't stay the same mess that we are. How many know that you're a mess, right? Okay, we don't stay the same mess that we are, but we draw into each other. And we might think, well, what does that have to do with prayer? Well, what it has to do with prayer is praying is a relationship. It's a relationship with living being. God isn't just an imaginary friend. God isn't just something that's off in a distance that's like science, that it just happens. God is a living being. And he has a will, and he has a desire, and he has emotions, and he gets happy, and he gets upset. And when we pray, we're interacting with him. And I think our inability to do relationships humanly spills over into our relationship with God, to where we don't know how to connect with a person, and so then we don't know how to connect with the Lord. And Habakkuk is going to help us learn how to connect with the Lord. Are you ready for that? If we can just learn how to have a conversation with God, we will learn how to be more connected with him, and as a result, we will see that impactful type of prayer start to surface in our lives. So first, it starts with being transparent with God. And what we see in this book is Habakkuk. We're welcomed into seeing Habakkuk praying with God and talking with God. Habakkuk says some things to God. God responds. Habakkuk says some more things. God responds again, and then Habakkuk has a final response. That's the order of this book. And so Habakkuk starts out by expressing some things to God. And what he's expressing is hard for a lot of us to accept, because where most of us want to land when we talk with God is we know we're supposed to be respectful. We're supposed to want certain things. We're supposed to not want other things. We're supposed to have a certain kind of attitude. And so but sometimes we don't feel it. Do you ever not feel it? Okay, you ever not actually feel happy with God? Or maybe you don't feel like you want to talk with God? Or ever have things that you know God wants you to do? And maybe I just don't want to do that, but I know I'm supposed to, so I'm going to, you know how we got that whole fake it till you make it kind of thing with a lot of things in life? That works for some things. It doesn't work so great here. But we try it. We try to pretend like, yeah, God, sure, I like all the things that you're telling me to like, but we don't. And what happens is that lack of transparency, while we think that it leaves us in the place we need to be, actually what happens is we never actually land there, because we're pretending like we're something that we're not. And you ever heard of that term burnout? Want to know the real truth of what burnout is? It's someone trying under their own strength to do something they don't want to do. And they could do it for a while, but after a while, they can't do it anymore because they don't want to do it. And that's because I fake it till I make it. But the reality is I need to tell God, even if it means to tell him, I don't actually think what he's doing is right. I don't trust him. I don't trust him to give this to him. It's not that we need to stay there forever, but if that's where we are, then that's what we need to express. And we might say, surely that's not how God wants us to do this. We'll look at Habakkuk chapter 1 and listen to what Habakkuk says to God in verses 2 and following. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Is Habakkuk upset with God? Is he telling him that he's upset with God? Habakkuk is saying, this is happening and this isn't right, and you aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing. And we might think, well, that's just Habakkuk, and Habakkuk, maybe he was a mess. I don't know. Maybe he didn't understand how this whole prayer thing works. Well, maybe we haven't read the book of Psalms before, because Psalms is filled with this kind of idea of saying, God, where are you? Why aren't you helping me? I don't feel you present. The things that are supposed to be happening when I do this aren't happening, God. That is throughout the Psalms, and even if we look at other recorded prayers in the Scripture outside of Psalms and Habakkuk, we see the same kind of concept. People being transparent before God and saying, I don't like this, God. Why would he record those prayers for us? Why would he invite us to see somebody else's interaction with God if it wasn't to teach us how to do this? Because what we need to do when we come to God is we need to actually express what our attitude actually is and our opinions are. And so if you don't want to come to church, you tell God, I don't want to go to church. If you don't want to witness, you tell him, I don't want to witness. If you don't want to pray, we tell him, I don't want to pray. I don't really see the value in this. And besides, the last thing I asked for, you didn't do anything about. Say it out loud. We might say, well, that's going to be disrespectful to God. Listen, God can handle that conversation way better than any of your friends or family or spouse can handle, okay, right? Because with them, sometimes there's other people we got to like kind of walk on eggshells, right? Be careful what we say. With God, tell him. Now, he's going to talk back to you, mind you, but tell him what's going on. Express that to him. Now, there is some restraint to it, though. So it's not like we're going to like blaspheme God and reject him. There is some restraint. We understand who he is. And actually, I don't know if you noticed or not, but and this also happens throughout Scripture, is a lot of the examples of praying is people trying to say, God, this is what I want, and this is why you want it also. They try to find them merging together, because you hear what he's talking about? In verse 2, violence and iniquity. Well, surely God doesn't want violence and iniquity, so he's saying, this is why I'm upset. Verse 3, strife and contention. Verse 4, the law is paralyzed. And so he's saying to God, listen, I'm upset, and I'm upset at things that I know you care about. Have you ever had your children try to get you to let them do something, and they tried to tell you why you should want them to do that? Why it's good for them or for you also? Oop, that was Freudian slip there. Why it's good for you? And we need to do the same thing for God. And I think that's healthy to an extent of asking myself, what I'm upset with and what I'd like to see happen, is it actually something God would actually care about? And so Habakkuk's doing that. He also is expressing who God is. So in 1 verse 2, he mentions the salvation idea. You know, God, you're the Savior, and there is no saving happening here, and you're the Savior, that's who you are. Or justice in chapter 1, verse 4, God, you are the just one, and there is no justice, and you bring justice. And so he's connecting those things together. And so when we pray, we come to God, and we express everything. Because, I mean, tell me this. How many of you have a human being that you're willing to tell them every thought that comes across your head? You have a human being? Okay, we'll talk later. Find out who that person is. That's awesome. But I think most of us, even with our spouse, there are some things that come across our head that we're not saying that out loud. But it would be great to be able to express that to somebody, wouldn't it? And God, he can handle it. He knows exactly what to do when we come to him and say this. And besides, it's not like it's a surprise to him. Do you think God is receiving our prayer and saying, I didn't even know they were upset about this. I'm kind of shocked. I thought they were doing great. I didn't know that they didn't like doing it. You think God's taken off guard by that? So why do we try to come to him and say, you know, God, I really do like this. I mean, he's like the ultimate deception artist. Like he can track, he knows when we're lying. So just say, this is how it is. But then God begins to respond. And God begins to invite us to take a look at his perspective. And part of the challenge to that, we won't get into today, but I'll refer to the previous messages on studying Scripture. This is one of the reasons we need to study Scripture, because there are a lot of voices out there. Okay? And even voices that come to us. Sometimes it's just our own thinking and feelings. Sometimes it's culture. Sometimes it could be the enemy or just what we want or things we heard other people say. And so we got to be careful with just assuming that I sensed something, heard something, so that must be God. And so the more we have a knowledge of Scripture, of what God's voice sounds like and what God would say and what his character is, we'd be able to sift through that. But God starts to show up. And I can't tell you how the most intense moments, the most close moments I've had with God is when I've come to him and said I'm upset. The most I've felt his presence is when I came to him broken and falling apart and having no answers and in complete despair. And it's almost as if he was just waiting for us to open that up to him in order to begin to receive that. But we have to be willing to come to him and say and admit, I don't like you right now, God. I don't believe in you. I don't trust that. We can even tell him, I'm struggling to know if you exist. That doesn't scare him. But then what he begins to do is he begins to ask us to think about something. And in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, look. Now, I know he says some other things, but he says, look. He wants them to begin to see something. Habakkuk begin to see something. And I think that it's amazing how, like, when we get focused on one thing, it's amazing how we don't know the other things that are around us. And sometimes it could be physical things that we can see with our natural eye. Like, some of you are more detail-oriented, and there was a conversation one time. You know the carpet that's in the men's bathroom? And some of us went, there's carpet in the men's bathroom? I didn't know that. Yes, there's carpet that we go to check because we didn't believe the person. And sure enough, there's carpet. I don't know when that got there, but there's carpet in the men's bathroom. Okay? Or have you ever seen that before where you said, hey, you know, can you go get that thing that's over in the room over there? And they go and they say, it's not in there. Or can you get this out of the refrigerator? And they go and they look and it's not in there. And then you know it's there. So you go and you look and it's right there, right in the center. And I don't know how they didn't see that, right? Because when we get focused on one thing, we miss other things. And when we come to God upset, what we're focused on is the thing we're upset about, right? We're focused about the circumstances that we want to change, and we want God to fix it, and we're thinking about our money problems, our health problems, our emotional problems, our relationship issues, the things that are going on around in the world, and that's what we're focused on. And God listens to us. God's the best listener that there is. I mean, I'm amazed at how many times I can just go on and on and on and on and on, and God's just waiting. Waiting for me to take a breath, okay? And then he steps in, and he says, hey, I want you to look at this. All right, let's get my mind off. I got all that out of the way. Let me look at something. And sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's something that we need to see with our spiritual eye, something that is going to happen that we can't see the evidence of it physically in front of us or is happening. And then he says to him in verse 6, I am doing a work in your days. Now listen, here's what's happening. The Israelites are behaving badly, and Habakkuk is upset with that, and he's saying, God, do something about them. And so God is going to tell him he's going to do something about it, and he tells him, I am doing something. And what he's going to be doing is he's going to be taking a foreign nation that isn't good either and bring them in to bring some of the consequences to the Israelites, and he's about to tell him that. But he's saying, I'm going to do something, and we don't know this history. Some of us aren't familiar with the history of this, but they knew that these nations were out there. They knew that these conquering nations were out there relatively near them and could be on their way to them. They were aware of this. And God was saying, Habakkuk, I want you to look at something. The thing that you want to happen, it's already in motion. There's process that's taking place. It's not complete yet, but there are things that if you look, you can see it. And there are many times that we're asking God, why aren't you doing anything? Well, being in the midst of God doing things about our circumstances. It's not complete. It's not fully materialized. But God is always, if we're asking, God is always working on our behalf. It might not play out exactly like we planned. I mean, could you imagine? Eschatology, if you don't know what that is, it's a study of end times. That always cracks me up when people think they know exactly how that's going to work. And I wonder if some people who maybe don't believe in the rapture and all of a sudden there's people being raptured up and Jesus is blowing the trumpet. I wonder if there's anybody that would say, this is not really the way this is supposed to be planned, God. Can we just kind of reorder this and do this a different way? You know, I don't know if anybody's going to do that. But we do that in this earthly life, you know. God, take care of this. And then we start to look and see, well, he is doing this and that, but I'd like him to do it a different way. But he is working. And the many times that we think that God is not being faithful, start to look. Look with our natural eye, look with our spiritual eye, and we will start to see that he's working. But it has to start with us admitting that we don't think that he is and start having that conversation with him. And then he will also do something else. In verse 6, I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe. He's saying, look, I could show you what I'm doing, but you're not going to like it. You're not going to like it. And in saying so, he begins to reveal to Habakkuk what his true intentions are. Have you ever went complaining about one thing and you had ulterior motives hoping that something else would happen? I'm sure none of you ever play those games. Where you're trying to act like this is what I care about, but you know that if this happens, you get some kind of kickback over here. And so we're not being fully honest. And sometimes we're like that with God, even our venting. I'm upset about this. And then God steps in and nudges us, and we realize that, oh, okay, that's not actually what I care about. And it's because the thing I first bring up seems maybe less selfish, seems maybe more godly, and the thing that I'm actually upset about is a little self-centered and a little less godly. And when I open myself up, God shows up and puts his finger on that and says, yeah, I don't know. And we start to see who we are. But we don't get to that space if when we're upset, we come to God and say, I'm good. I'm fine. Ever have anybody tell you that when you ask them how you're doing? I'm fine. I don't think I believe you based on the tone with which you said that. Because the answer is to actually just admit what's going on and invite God to come in and begin to do something in there. But here's another thing that happens, and this is why we don't do well with relationships. Have you ever been upset with somebody? You go and you tell them why you're upset with them. And they say, yeah, well, but this can't really change because this and that. And then your response is to walk away and go, well, I guess it's not going to change. I guess it's just going to be that way. And I'm done talking. Because we can't handle much of this, you know, going back and forth with someone. This bothers me. Well, but this is bothering me. Well, but what about this? Well, but what about this? We don't have a lot of stamina for that. No, we just want to go in, let them accept what we're saying, and it's fine. But instead, they have their own ideas, right? They have their own things that they care about, and they say those things. And so we just kind of give up with those things. And I think we do the same thing with God also. God, I'm upset about this. And then some scripture comes to mind where we realize that I shouldn't be that way. And then we're still not feeling it, though. But we go back to faking it till we make it again, right? We go back to the, sure, God, I really do like coming to church. Sure, God, I really do like talking to other people about Jesus. Sure, I really do like praying and reading your word. And we go back to that because we don't have the stamina to do this. But I'm telling you, that's where the life is doing this. And we see that with Habakkuk. God gives him the answer, and Habakkuk is still not happy. And he tells him he's still not happy. And he's not happy with some of the results and what he says, because God says he's going to bring this nation that's going to come and bring judgment, and people are going to die, and there's going to be issues, and this is what Habakkuk says in chapter 1, verse 12, we will not die. He's like, wait, no, this isn't what's going to happen. In verse 13, he even says it's wrong. He says what this plan is wrong. Verse 17, he says, is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? So he's saying, no, surely this is not what's going to happen. And he's telling God he doesn't like the answer. And then he also still, though, is being respectful to link it to, does this fit God's character and what God would want, the thing that I'm pushing back on? And you hear him say it again. In verse 13, he says, you who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong. So he's saying, this is horrible. Surely you, who is pure, can't do this. Also verse 13, why do you idly look at traitors and remain silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? And then in verses 14 to 16, he begins to talk about how powerful God is and that God can do this in any way he wants to. And so he's saying, I still don't like this answer, God. But there's a change that happens with them all of a sudden. There's something that happens in chapter 2, verse 1 that didn't happen when Habakkuk started to pray. Because when Habakkuk started to pray in chapter 1, he said, God, I don't like this. This isn't fair, and you're not doing what you're supposed to do. But in chapter 2, he pushes back again. But listen to this statement, chapter 2, verse 1, from Habakkuk. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. Now, all of a sudden, after telling God why he's upset, God responding and telling God again why he still doesn't like that, now all of a sudden he has the space to be able to say, okay, God, I'm listening though. Do you see the transition that begins to happen there? That happened because he didn't fake it until he made it. That happened because he pressed in and admitted what his feelings were, what he wanted, how he felt towards God, and all of a sudden he's starting to gain a little bit of trust in God in this conversation. But are you willing to do that? Are we willing to press into the Lord this way? Because I'm telling you, know this to be true. You're listing off your requests day in and day out, week after week, and you're not seeing any power from it. You're singing all the worship songs, and maybe you're even reading psalms to God or whatever. You're telling them about your plans, and you're asking them for things. But there's no power. There's no connection in that. Why? Because we're not pressing in. Maybe sometimes because we don't want to spend the time on it. No, we want to just be able to come to God and say, do this, and walk away. Instead of God, do this, and he say, well, I don't want to, and here's why. And we say, well, I don't really like that you don't want to, God, and here's why. And he says, well, that's not a good thing. Let's work on that. Well, I don't really want to work on it right now. I just want to think that I'm good and just walk and go do about my business and stuff. Because we don't want to spend the time doing that. Have you ever had those personal encounters with someone where you tried to press in a little bit and you started getting like, oh, this is too uncomfortable for me or too close to whatever, or just it's taking too much time, but you decided to stick it out anyway? You decided, I'm just going to forget my plans and we're going to talk this through. When we decide to be present with someone, that's when things start to happen, things get worked out, and we connect with the person because we were willing to spend the time on the relationship. This prayer thing with God, it's not just a formality. It's a relationship. And we will not have health in the relationship if we're not willing to spend the time to talk this out. And this can happen over and over again. Okay, we can say, God, I really don't want to stop doing that. You know, I want to have this attitude with them because they deserve it and they don't treat me well. And I want to be like this with them. And then God tells us, no, that's not good. And he walks that through with us. And we're like, okay, I'll go deal with that. We deal with that for a little while. And then after a while, we no longer want to do it anymore. Guess what? We go back to God again. And we say, I did that for a few days. I don't like it. And we keep going through that interaction. That's where life is. But then God, if we come back to him, he still has more things to say. I think that might be part of the reason why we don't want to have this conversation. Is because we might not like what he might say in the conversation. We're more than happy. That's why people, if you ever talk to the people that you get on the phone with them and they're just letting you have it. You know, they're just telling you all the reasons why you're a lousy human being. And then before you can finally say something back as to why you're upset, they hang up and the phone conversation's all over. Or maybe you try to start saying something. They're like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. And they got all their stuff in. We didn't get anything in. And we're like that with God sometimes. We want to let him have it. We don't really want to hear what he has to say. And God knows that. And God actually is kind of sneaky, you know. Did you ever know that? God is sneaky. That's in Leviticus somewhere. God is sneaky. And what I mean by that is not that he's deceptive, but God knows how to work us over. And we don't tend to receive correction very well. You know, so when someone comes to us, I mean, think about this honestly. When someone comes to us and says, that's bad what you're doing, and that's really mean, and you need to stop doing that, we don't really respond well to that. Like, who do you think you are to say that? You're mean also, by the way. You know what you did to me last week? We don't tend to handle that well. And then we just kind of pretend the conversation never happened. We don't handle that well. But you know what we do handle well? When someone comes along and corrects somebody else in front of us. You know, like, hey, you need to stop doing that. And we're just kind of the innocent bystander over here. As we're hearing the conversation, we're really realizing, oh, I do the same thing that that guy does. Maybe I should change that. That's not me, so that doesn't happen to me. And we're more open to hear it when it's being directed at somebody else. God did that here. Did you know that? Because in God's second response, he begins to detail out how God's going to get the Israelites, like Habakkuk asked, and he's going to deal with this foreign nation as well, like Habakkuk asked. But as he does it, listen to what Habakkuk says, because he's never in here does he say to Habakkuk that you're wrong and you need to change. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that in here. But what Habakkuk's response is, listen to this response in chapter 3, verse 2. Again, I remind you, God says nothing about Habakkuk in his response, but this is what Habakkuk says in chapter 3, verse 2. O Lord, I have heard the report of you and your work. O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. All of a sudden, Habakkuk realized that he's not really on the good side of God's justice either. And it's not because God directly confronted him, but because God starts speaking about the justice that Habakkuk's asking for and the purity that Habakkuk's asking for. And all of a sudden, after coming in angry, all of a sudden Habakkuk's repentant and humble because he realizes, I'm not good either. And you know how he came to realize that? Not by faking it until he made it. He came to realize that because he came to God open and honest and who he was and open to have a conversation with God. And wouldn't you rather love praying? Wouldn't we rather love studying the scripture, love witnessing, love coming to church, love being in Christian fellowship, love living a righteous life and rejecting sin? Wouldn't we rather love doing that than it be such a hard task? And it's not that we shouldn't just do it even when we don't want to, but it's better to want to do it. And in order for us to get there, we have to actually tell God, I don't want to do it. And then we need to listen to him. And then he needs to correct us again, oh so gently. God corrects us more gently than anybody else can. I can't tell you how many times I've been scared to go to somebody else with a matter. I go to him, and he still corrects me, but he corrects me in a way that gives me life. That somehow in the correction, in him pointing out my flaw, I feel better about life in the process. I actually feel empowered to go on because of the way that he corrects me and the way that he comes in. And what is it that he's wanting Habakkuk to see? Well, a couple of things. One, that he's trying to make sure that, and I put in your notes that God makes sure that we understand that delay is not a no to our request. But you'll see in chapter 2, verse 3, that he says that God says that he will not delay. Now, I'll explain that in a moment. I think it's maybe better to consider it, it's okay if things are incomplete, if they've not been completed yet. And this is, listen to this statement. For still, vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Now, we can say delay in the sense of, in our minds, delay is it took 5 seconds. Right? Have you ever been at a stoplight and you didn't notice the green light right away for maybe 5 seconds and all of a sudden, beep, beep, they're blaring the horn at you? Because delay is 5 seconds to us. But for God, what he means by delay is that it was late. It didn't happen when it was supposed to happen, when it needed to happen. Did you know God's never late? He doesn't tend to like to do things early for some reason, but he's never late. And so every time we're asking for things, he is going to make sure that it happens. But it might take time, and it might not come the way that we expected it to come. But also know that he does answer it. In fact, in Habakkuk 2, verses 6 to 12, God begins to detail out how he's going to take care of Habakkuk's complaint. It's just Habakkuk doesn't like the way he's going to take care of it, but he's saying, listen, you're right. I am pure. I am righteous. I am justice. And I will bring justice and purity and righteousness. And so when we come to God saying, you're supposed to do according to your character, guess what? God will act according to his character. When justice is needed, he will bring it. And when love is needed, and when forgiveness is needed, and when correction is needed, he will bring it when it fits his character, not when it fits ours. I mean, could you imagine if the world actually was the way we wanted it to be? I don't think it'd be as good as we think that it will be, because I think that we're not so bright. I couldn't admit that for myself. Anybody else care to admit that I might not be so bright? I don't think I want to be the sovereign ruler of the universe. And so I'm going to trust that he's got it covered, and he will take care of it in his time. So a few things that comes to the surface that Habakkuk begins to notice. And first is chapter 2, verse 16. This is God's statement. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you. We're asking for God's justice, and then sometimes we forget. Guess who else is going to stand before God and be held account? Me and you. And so before we finish this prayer session with God, we need to be mindful of, I'm going to be judged too. Am I okay here? Am I actually okay? Also in chapter 2, verse 4, behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not right within him. I need to ask myself, is my attitude, my heart, my posture before God and others okay here? Is it? Because if it's not, am I actually okay? Because God's going to be coming around bringing judgment. I'm asking him to do that. Do I really want him to do that? Am I okay? Chapter 2, verse 4, but the righteous shall live by his faith. That is, that I will live trusting in incomplete things. Things that I don't see being answered just yet or made fully complete or right yet. The righteous lives that way. It's not the righteous who lives by expecting answers all the time and expecting everything to take place immediately. And so here I am with my complaints. Am I okay with God right now? Am I good? Chapter 2, verse 5, he says, moreover, wine is a traitor, an arrogant man who is never at rest. His greed is as wide as Sheol, like death. He has never enough. He gathers to himself all nations and collects all as his own. Sometimes we ask for things, and what we're asking for isn't actually fair to God or to others. God, make my husband, my wife like this. When really, that's not fair to her. That's not fair to him. And when we stop, and we're coming, and we're complaining to God, and then we stop, and we actually think about things. What if my wife is asking for the same thing? You know, my friend, my boss. What if my boss is... You know, I'm saying my boss is such a cranky, angry, irritating person, and he just never takes no for an answer. What if my boss is saying, man, that employee of mine never cooperates and is so difficult? And so I come before God mad, and then all of a sudden he says a few things, and then I start to think, am I good here at the moment? Am I okay? And guess what's at the end of that journey? Guess what's at the end of coming and saying, God, I'm mad. I don't like this. I want this. I want to punch that guy in the face, God. I want to tell him off. I want to do this thing. I don't want to do those things. And then we stop and we listen, and God shows up and says something, and we still don't like it, and we say something back. And then God talks us through that again, and then at some point we start to realize, oh, I understand what's going on, and then we walk away from that prayer time, however long that takes, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, however long it takes, we walk away from that different. A different person, no longer weak, no longer anxious, no longer worried, no longer self-centered, no longer angry, but joyful and at peace with life and confident and assured and walking in righteousness. That comes by that kind of conversation with God. But do you really want a prayer that has impact? Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come up prepared to lead us? We're complaining about it. God isn't answering my prayers. This doesn't seem to have power. Do we actually want that? Do we really want it? And so as the worship team prepares to lead us, what is your posture before the Lord this morning? Are you good with him? Are you close, intimate, in love with him, receptive and responsive to him? Or does it just look like it? Am I playing some kind of game with God, trying to pretend like something that I'm not? And if that's where I am, I might look the part, but I'm just playing a game. My heart's not really in it. Then maybe there's something that we need to talk over with the Lord this morning. Whether it's maybe there's something wrong on the outside. On the inside, I really want to do all the right things, but on the outside, I'm not doing them. Overly anxious, stressed, worried, angry, self-centered, do the wrong things and say the wrong things. Really wish I wasn't that guy, but I am. And if that's the evidence that's in my life, then something needs to be worked out between me and the Lord this morning. Or maybe I'm the guy that has an issue on the inside. It's all right on the outside. I'm doing the right things. I'm living righteously. I'm studying Scripture. I'm praying. I'm involved in the body of Christ. I'm doing all of that stuff. Maybe we start to realize that to some extent we're feeling like an empty shell. Like Jesus called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs because it looked great on the outside, or the drinking vessel that was shiny and sparkly on the outside, filthy on the inside. And we're blaming other people for our apathy and for our lack of desire and passion and all of those things. But really, it's me. It's me. I'm not right on the inside. And guess what? That's a good place to be if we come to Him. You see, it doesn't matter if we're wrong on the outside. It doesn't matter if we're wrong on the inside. It doesn't matter if we've been playing a game with Him. If we come before Him transparent and open that all up to Him, what does the Scripture say? A broken heart and a contrite spirit, He will not deny. And so with all the mess that we might be this morning, if we truly want hope and life, power and victory and joy, it's found by going through the pain of having that awkward conversation. And so there's an opportunity for you to do that this morning. And don't worry about what will other people think if I come forward? I'm a leader. I'm this or that. And I don't know about, maybe I don't like being in front of people. Listen, don't worry about everybody else right now. Let's be worried about our standing before God. And so as Aaron leads us this morning, do you have something to deal with God this morning? He has answers. Then begin to come and seek Him. Come down to these altars and kneel or stand or sit and begin to have that conversation like Habakkuk had with God. God, I'm mad about this. I'm anxious about that. I don't like this. I want to do that. Talk with the Lord. He has answers and He has victory and He has power if only we're willing to talk with Him about it this morning. Judging by the response this morning, I take that to mean that most of you have it all together. Or perhaps more of us actually need to have this conversation with the Lord and reach out to Him for help. And you know who you are, so if you are in that place, just begin to reach your hands up to Him. Reach your hands up to Him. And let's, with just the voices, just for a moment, Aaron, if you would. Let's call upon Him to give us some answers. And let's call upon Him and let's look to Him. You know, some of us, I think we just need to get over not sounding great, or not being put together, or not having the most perfect thing to say. But we need to seek Him, don't we? We need Him so desperately. And may the Lord help us to learn how to connect with Him. And it's not hard. All we have to do is start with telling Him all our feelings and thoughts, and He'll show us what to do after that. So Lord, we thank You for the work that You're doing in our lives. And I ask that You would continue to help us. Remind us, Lord, each day, when I'm anxious, it's time to pray. When I'm angry, it's time to pray. When I'm rejoicing, it's time to worship. When I'm grateful, it's time to worship. Help us to be a people who are a people of the Spirit in step with You. And may we begin to see the fruit of that. And we ask for that in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. Coming soon, one of the spiritual habits we'll talk about, I know you will like, and that'll be resting. Anybody like to rest? Okay, we'll get to that coming soon. But God wants us to be good and well and healthy, so go and love each other, and we'll see you next Sunday.